Hello and welcome to ELC World Hunger's More Than Food podcast. This is a chance for us to dive into the stories and people that are part of the Global Farm Challenge and to hear how God is calling us to be active workers for justice in the world, accompanying our neighbors and building a just world where all are fed. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Brooke.
And together we're the Hunger Education Team and ELC World Hunger and the hosts of More Than Food. In this episode, we're going to talk about the Global Farm Challenge and how the church is called to work for justice through the hunger ministries we support together. The title of this podcast is More Than Food, and we mentioned in a previous episode that that phrase comes out of the reality that to end hunger, we need to focus on more than food. What does that mean for ELC World Hunger, Brooke?
Yeah, for ELC World Hunger, that means looking at really complex reasons why people experience hunger and poverty. That means looking not just at food for today, but also at human rights, health, environmental sustainability, income, and jobs, all things that can make hunger a real risk.
We get to hear a lot of questions, Brooke. And one of those is why the church is involved in this work. There's a lot of people who are concerned about hunger and poverty and want to be involved through their church. But we also get questions like, you know, shouldn't we just be worshiping on Sunday mornings or Saturday nights or Wednesday evenings and then go about our lives? Or we get asked, not really asked, as you know, but told, that the church should feed people, but you really shouldn't be talking about justice, politics, or economics.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of those emails and calls before too.
Yeah. So what's one way that you respond to those?
Well, the first way I would respond to that question is I would say the church is a place we go to get ready to be the hands and feet of God in the world. We go to church because the world can really get us down, especially when we're trying to take on big issues like ending hunger. The work is not always easy or straightforward, so we go to church to be in community and be fed physically, spiritually, and emotionally, so we can be refreshed and restored and go back out into the world. Part of that work means striving for justice. And I would say, look at the ministry of Jesus if you need examples. There are plenty of them. Yes, Jesus fed people, healed people, and sat with them in their dark moments. And those are all important things that we are called to do still. But his mission was a lot bigger than that. In fact, we know from Jesus's birth announcement that he will be here to subvert the powers that keep people from living full lives. Mary was inspired by God to announce Jesus's coming with words so revolutionary, they've historically been banned in multiple countries. She offers this hymn, which we now call the Magnificat, when she finds out she will be the mother to the Messiah. She says in Luke 1, God has brought down rulers from their thrones and raised up the humble. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with nothing. That's quite revolutionary. And Jesus, too, when he returns from the wilderness, announces that he has been sent to bring good news to the poor and release the captives.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Magnificat is so powerful. And Jesus' announcement in Luke after he comes back to the wilderness is so stark and so moving. In its directness. For me, it's really our Lutheran heritage that highlights this. And the clearest place that I see that is in our baptismal vocation to strive for justice in all the world. But you also see a lot of this in Luther, even in the catechisms, which are sort of like the basic teaching blocks for new and old Lutherans. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't get a lot of justice talk in my confirmation classes.
Yeah, me either. Just a lot of memorizing.
Yeah, a lot of memorization and note-taking, right? But it's there. Mm-hmm. In fact, sure. Each section of the catechisms, Luther talks about like the kind of faith and spirituality side of like the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer and that. But he also adds into a lot of the sections a focus on justice, especially economic justice. So when he's describing the commandment, don't steal, for example, he talks about direct theft and direct stealing. But he also says that this happens when people are overcharged in marketplaces by greedy sellers, which we know was a huge problem in his time. And with the commandment, don't kill, he starts to get a little kind of harsh Luther. He says that if we see someone hungry and we don't help them, we're guilty for their starvation.
Yeah, that can be really stark and kind of terrifying, but it's also really powerful and really a strong call for justice for us in our work. When I went back to the catechism in seminary and did some rethinking about what this means for my own call, Luther's explanation to the eighth commandment really stuck out to me. The eighth commandment, if you don't remember, don't worry, because I never remember all my commandments, is that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I was taught in confirmation that this was all about not gossiping, which in some ways it is, but there is a lot more to it. In Luther's explanation to the eighth commandment, he notes that we are not only not supposed to lie, But we are to come to our neighbor's defense, speak well of them, interpret everything they do in the best possible light. There are lots of false narratives told about our neighbors every day, whether that's just white lies or gossip around school or big ones in the news. One of the groups of our neighbors we will learn more about later in episodes of the podcast is immigrant farm workers. There are false narratives and inaccurate assessments of our neighbors seeking safety, opportunity, and freedom in this country. Because of misconceptions that are created by some of our rhetoric, many of our immigrant neighbors face ridicule, harassment, and injustice. And it's our job to correct these narratives and speak well of all of our neighbors, no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we think about justice, you know, on the one hand, you know, it's about policies and practices, but it's also about the stories that we tell, the stories we tell ourselves, you know, about our own identity, about who our neighbors are, where they come from, what their needs are, you know, things like that. You know, perhaps the best on justice and you really listening to our neighbors and walking together with them and accompanying them, it comes from Luther's writings on communion. And I love his writings on communion because, you know, we look at communion and it seems to be this really individual thing, right? Like there's me, there's God, there's bread, there's wine, you know, et cetera, but it's just about me. But for Luther, communion is really about the community. And it's about our responsibility to one another, to the people who are at the table, and really the people who are absent from the table too. When we take communion, we're becoming part of this different kind of narrative about who the church is. We're committing ourselves to helping other people at the table and to growing in love for them. You know, one of the ways that I think about it is if you remember in school cafeterias, like I was trying to figure out where to sit, like what table you're going to be welcome at. And here's this table of communion. And the narrative of the table of communion is here. You're welcome here. All are welcome here, you know. And so for Luther, like that's part of our very identity as the church. When we take communion, we're committing ourselves to these other people and to growing in love for them. He even says that communion, and this is wonderful how he says it, communion is a sacrament of love. And if it doesn't move us to love and serve other people, then Luther simply says it's basically an empty ritual.
Yeah, the radical welcome at the communion table is so important, and that honestly one of my favorite parts of Luther. When we come to communion, there's an important event happening where we are reminded that it's okay to feel like we aren't good enough, or maybe that we've messed up. Maybe we said a white lie or some gossip about our neighbors, but that God still loves us and invites us to the table no matter what. And we are radically loved, and so are all of our neighbors. But there is this other side where we are sent from the table to be that loving and serving presence in the world. So we come to the table to be fed and to remind ourselves of who we are and who we are called to be, and then sent back out into the world to be that presence.
It definitely. I mean, we're both welcome to the table, sent back out from it. Welcome and sent back out. And one of the things that we're sent back out for is to do justice, right? To ensure that our communities are places of welcome, where we are all able to join the table and where all of us are fed. And we can look back to scripture too. You mentioned, you know, in Luke, but we can look back to books like Amos, the writings of Isaiah, and they're all about justice. You know, we hear from them about God rejecting the people's sacrifices. It's not because they're not worshiping correctly. It really is a rejection of sacrifices that are done in a community that's unjust. It's mistreating vulnerable people.
Yeah, definitely. We see that in Amos when God says, establish justice at the gates. Gates is kind of a metaphor where, you know, in Hebrew, the gates were places where like a civil court or community gatherings, right, where things were decided. And at the gates in Amos, people were being judged incorrectly and the poor were being taken advantage of, and it made God angry. So Amos says, your community needs to change. It needs to be just.
And all this shapes the way that we view our work as ELC World Hunger. And I guess that's really the basic foundation, that this isn't something extra we do or something good we do on top of being church. This is what it means to be church. When we're working with people to ensure they have access to healthcare, to clean water, to make sure they have access to land or to tools or to training or education, this is what it means to be church in the world. To be church means to be active and striving for justice.
Totally. It means being the hands and feet of Christ in all kinds of different ways and then bringing about justice and a just world where all are fed for all of our neighbors.
Right. And that's what the Global Farm Challenge in the end is really all about. It's about accompanying our neighbors, listening to them, working together to establish the justice that we need to ensure that communities aren't at risk for hunger, you know, down the road. We're going to hear more about this in the rest of the More Than Food podcast, where we dive more deeply into each of the stories that are part of the Global Farm Challenge for ELC World Hunger. So be sure to check out those other episodes, which you can find at blogs.elca.org/GFCpod. blogs.elca.org/GFCpod to find more episodes from More Than Food and more information about the Global Farm Challenge. And on behalf of Brooke and our team at ELC World Hunger, thanks for being part of the work that God is doing in the world through our church and through our companions, partners, congregations, neighbors, friends, and all people of goodwill. Thanks for joining us today, and remember to check out elca.org/globalfarm for more episodes and info about the Global Farm Challenge.